Mysteries of the Mind. For those of you joining me, I'm so excited to have you. This week is the second part of our series talking about dun 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 dun, dun aliens. And it's one of those topics that I think people are both excited and a little scared to talk about. And I can understand that. I can get on board with that. Because for those of you who didn't have a chance to join me last week, I kind of shared with you that aliens and alien abduction is one of those topics that just, it gets under my skin a little bit. It's one of those, you know, I'm paranoid about it because I truly feel like I don't subscribe to coincidence, right? So I believe in synchronicity. I believe in kind of the higher powers that be, if you will, kind of selectively choosing what comes in and out of my life. And whether it be who I sit next to on the plane at a paranormal convention and it's, you know, Mr. Walton and we talk about his experiences, or I get in touch with someone through a college professor and my journeys through hypnosis, and I'm put with Dr. Leo Sprinkle and we talk about soul samples and alien psychic research, or I work with hypnosis regression and I start to get these cases that take me to government conspiracy related things, talking about reptilians. And then, of course, later I'm talking with my good friend Scotty, who's writing a book on the subject, and we're talking about clients that I've dealt with. And aliens is just kind of one of those common themes. And it's also kind of scary because for those of you who do subscribe to the belief of aliens and alien beings, you kind of wonder if you've been chosen, right? You kind of wonder if the reason that you're so interested in quantum physics or the reason you're so interested in aliens and UFOs and government conspiracies is because perhaps you share the belief. Do you share the belief? Are you listening right now because you believe at some point you may have been abducted, or you've heard someone's stories of abduction, or you've heard lights, seen things, experienced strange phenomenon, and you're just not quite sure. Now, for those of you joining us here for the first time on Intrepid Radio, this show, Mysteries of the Mind, is all about you. It's about exploring your beliefs and your philosophical opinions and contributions to topics that I throw out there. And I do use a little bit of neurolinguistic programming to explore, and hopefully you there on the other end listening are formulating your own thoughts and beliefs and values and opinions on what it is that we bring up here on the radio show. So I'm asking you now, with your permission, of course, to take a moment and differentiate. Are you a believer or are you a skeptic? Are you a skeptical believer? Are you unsure? What emotions do you associate with aliens and alien abduction? Last week, we talked about Aliens 101. We talked about terminology, abductees, experimentees. We talked about what people might experience with the characteristics and the symptoms, possible mental health-related issues. For those skeptical believers, I would encourage you to check back on that show, as today we're going to put our foot a little farther down the rabbit hole. So Alien Abduction 102, the definition of an alien abduction is a forced removal of a person from his or her physical location to another place. It might include an altered state of awareness for the purpose of physical, surgical, or even psychological procedures performed by a non-human. After the abduction takes place, the person is returned to his or her physical location and frequently has little or no recollection of the experience. Now, today, of course, for those of you listening, you're likely living in a first world country. You're sitting nicely behind a computer desk, maybe listening with your nice Philips headphones or your Beats, and you're relaxing and utilizing technology of today. The World Wide Web, radio frequency, podcasts. At the click of a button, maybe you're tuning in from TuneIn on your mobile app and listening wherever in the world you might be. But you are no doubt rich, much more so than 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And why is it that we've come so far in such a short amount of time? Maybe you've been brought to the Intrepid radio station because you're a scientist, or maybe you're very interested in politics. Maybe you listen to a Rocky show on Sundays, and you have strong formulated opinions about what the government does and does not do, and what might unconsciously be affecting us every moment of every day. Maybe you're a paranormal fan. Maybe you're interested in the other side, if you will, and you're wondering sometimes how aliens interact with the paranormal. But without a doubt, hopefully after today's brief show, you'll have a better understanding of how all of these things, government conspiracy, paranormal phenomenon, and alien abduction, really do mingle and dance with one another just a few feet below the rabbit hole, just a few inches below the surface of everyday humanity. So turn off your TV for a moment. Look away from consumer television. Step back from the media and the mainstream and explore your own beliefs. That's what this show is all about. So I encourage you, if you are a boisterous extrovert, to join us at intrepidradio.com live, where you can chat and you can share your thoughts, or you can even be brave enough and courageous enough to call in and share your stories. For those of you who join me on social networking sites, again, our wonderful first world country with government technologies allowing us to socially interact without ever having to really interact. You shared with me some of your very intimate alien abduction encounters, and for some, even gave me pictures and video from last week's radio program and your responses to that. And they were quite fantastic. Now, of course, I am what I refer to myself as, a skeptical believer. And so, it's one of those things that I believe, but I don't believe, and I don't immediately believe everyone. And Carl Sagan, I would have to say, probably shares most closely my belief system and my values to the alien abduction scenario, and that is that you want to believe. You want so badly and statistically believe we couldn't possibly be the only intelligent life in the universe. But why are they retroactively coming back to interfere with a measly species such as the human race? What is it that they get out of it? Are they divine beings? Are they curious children with a magnifying glass playing with the ants on the sidewalk? The who, what, when, where, and why just cannot be supported with objective, empirical, scientific evidence. And for that reason, it's very difficult to grab onto. It's not tangible. We can't completely grasp it. But there's just enough between popular culture, government conspiracy, and the group phenomenon saying at least 10% of the world's population admitting to, now think about that, the taboo and stigma of even saying such things, admitting to having an alien abduction experience. So I want to start a little bit with the mental part of it. Symbolism. I think one of my favorite movies, because I'm a visual person, most of us are, you're visualizing something in your head when I say aliens. It's actually interesting how much the alien phenomenon interacts with us on a visual level, seeing UFOs, seeing bright lights, having flashbacks in our mind, having paranoia and anxiety associated with visual stimulus. but also for those who try and have the empirical, objective support for their experience. Some of that is, at least in my opinion, the most profound when they are drawing what it is aliens have shown them. Can you imagine having an alien abduction experience where someone is giving their narrative and they say, "Here, give me a piece of paper," and they start dissociatively just drawing, frantic pen to paper, and they're scratching and they're drawing, and they hand you this sheet. And it looks like something you've maybe never seen. Or maybe you're John Ward, an Egyptian archaeologist, and maybe you've seen similar hieroglyphs, symbols, star charts. That's one of the most common characteristics when we're looking for those objective, empirical pieces of evidence, star charts. People that believe they've been visited, that they've been abducted, and they bring with them intelligence from this intergalactic species that is trying to give us a civilization, a sign, a message, a warning. It's usually a warning that something else is out there, and that, of course, the human race, and this is not a surprise, is doomed. That we are destroying our home planet, we're destroying ourselves, we're more like a virus, and we need to stop. And so we're going to talk about the intentions later, but the star charts themselves are fantastic. They both look like Mayan glyphs and Egyptian glyphs and glyphs that you might see from Sumeria all the way, I mean, just all around the world, different time periods where you're thinking, holy cow, does this person have like this great big grand hoax scheme where they've looked at these kind of things? Because sometimes, usually, it's done under hypnosis, and a lot of the times, the person is so paranoid and anxious that they are really hesitant to share their star charts. It's not like they're looking to write a book and get rich and famous, or that they even want media attention, but that they want answers. They want relief. But the star charts are one of those things that have become a unique, consistent piece of strange evidence that we associate with abductions. But let's talk about further symbolism. Now, if you're tuning in, maybe you're someone who really appreciates popular culture and you really have watched your fair share of alien movies in Hollywood today. There are hundreds. I'm telling you, hundreds. The alien franchise in science fiction and even horror is huge. Everything from what we might associate to Sigourney Weaver and Alien, and seeing this H.R. Giger inspired creature in our nightmares to Predator, you know. But there are huge box office hits, and there are also small, tiny non-hits. I mean, you've got things like Star Wars, which is obviously about intergalactic concepts, but then you have things like Gremlins and Critters and kind of offshoot alien movies. But then you also have kind of the docu series. You've got shows like The Grey, or you've got movies like The Fourth Kind. And these are interesting. Movies, Prometheus, Alien versus Predator, these are some of the new ones, but there are so many more, many more. What a horrible, I just am not even thinking today. I'm really into the show and I'm just not even thinking, so I apologize, grammar police out there. There are just a ton of box office specials associated with aliens and kind of what culture. A good friend of mine, his name is Aaron Sagers, and he's one of those big head honchos that sits and interviews people on panels at like Comic-Con and Dragon-Con. And he and I have shared some interesting conversations on the alien phenomenon in Hollywood with movies that weren't such big hits like District 9. If you've not seen District 9, it was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was very, very well done. Of course, everyone has seen movies like The Thing with Kurt Russell, oh, bless his heart, and more Star Trek related movies, which obviously I'm a huge Zachary Quinto fan. I love the new series as well. But movies like The Fourth Kind, E.T., they've really given us this visual of what we might believe an alien to be and what their intentions might be. But let's take a look at like The Fourth Kind. Not Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the dee 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 dee, but The Fourth Kind. And I love how she's doing this hypnosis regression at the beginning of the movie. And people start seeing something outside their window. It's a white owl. It's funny, I've never noticed that white owl before. But it's there, and it's looking at me. And as I'm having the flashback, as I'm recalling the memory of the white owl, the symbolism, really, for those Freudians out there or those who appreciate psychoanalysis, the big black eyes staring at me, following me around the room. And I just stood there in the kitchen, looking out as it stared back. I can't remember how long I stood there. I can't remember how long it was watching me, but it's been there every night this week. And what's interesting is that our mind does these very interesting things sometimes, especially in domestic abuse, trauma survivors, alien abduction survivors. When there's an image that is so horrific that we just cannot rationalize it, that we give it a symbol, we give it an image, we have a little displacement, a little projection, and this wakefulness, this unconscious symbolism comes into play in our lives. In that movie, people were seeing their alien abduction experience as a white owl. Now, was it this telepathic power, a shape-shifting species that said, it can't handle seeing me? It can't handle the alien figure? Or maybe it doesn't have a figure? Maybe it's an interdimensional species, like some people sent me on their social network sites this week, that it just showed up as a strange phenomenon or anomaly in their pictures that they took, strange, fuzzy, heat-like frequencies in their photos. And so, therefore, it projects in our mind as a creature with similar associations to things that pop culture and Hollywood have suggested to us, these large black eyes. I love this concept of what it is people might portray their aliens to be. And for some, it's a complete void. It is so scary, it is so traumatic, it is so separate from anything, and so, dare I say, alien from anything they've ever experienced, that the memory leaves it as a void. And usually these individuals are very scared to explore both the unknown void in their mind, but because they know that void is there for a reason. It's not just a dark abyss. And that, of course, is very scary, but it's what is in the abyss. It's what has been taken and removed. What is so traumatic and scary that my own mind, as a self-defense mechanism, has simply emitted this moment, a timeline, a fragment gone. So in hypnosis, that's one of the things that we do with regressed fear, is we do a guided hypnosis session to understand the symbolism, to understand the source, and to possibly shed some light on this void and this regressed fear. But of course, psychoanalysis heavily comes into play. So, of course, last week was 101. We talked lightly about those symptoms and mental health, but today let's go a little bit into psychoanalysis, shall we? The big head honcho is Freud. But Freud is very sexual. He's our cocaine addict that really was out there. And for some, it's hard to get on board with some of Sigmund Freud's concepts. Now, I'm a huge Freudian fan, but at the age of 83, Carl Jung actually did a lot more to write about and speak about as he shed the stigma and taboo of his career and what reputation might be tarnished in his old age and said, screw it, I'm going to write about this because it's very, very common and he included the psychoanalysis and archetypes of tech Gnostics, is what he called, T-E-K, Gnostics. And it was about UFOs and the mysteries of aliens. So if you're interested in that, you can actually get the book by Carl Jung. And he talks a lot about the influx in the 1960s. Of course, you've got the Cold War, right? You've got these things going on in American culture wherein the UFOs increased in popular culture and writings and in Hollywood. But this fragmentation of the inner consciousness, he talks about trying to deal with the unexplained. That we have this fear of communism. We have this fear of human culture related things. We have this fear of something that is not tangible, but it's a movement over people, and it changes the way they act and the way they're controlled. And that if something were to come out of the sky and drop a bomb, you know, that everyone's hiding under their desk and fearful of something in the sky, that they're actually this unconscious categorization of the UFO concept, the alien concept, that this is indeed alien, that the way our civilization and society is changing with immigrants, with the Industrial Revolution, with the advancements of technology and the obsession with war in America, that we are fighting change. And there's so much we don't know about ourselves and individualization and trying to figure out who we are as a culture while we, you know, cover up genocide of the Native Americans, and we say that we are a culture of Christians, but we are heavily, heavily influenced by war, greed, and politics, and that we're trying to figure out what exactly it is that we stand for. And understanding the self has a lot to do with this exploration of the unknown. And so Carl Jung talks about this fragmentation of the inner consciousness and dealing with that unexplained changes all around us, out of our control, as this projection of displacement of the alien abduction scenario. But then shortly after Carl Jung, because I want to kind of keep moving, we're going to delve further into this throughout the month here, but political scientist Jody Dean has some really great quotes that I want to kind of throw your direction, because of course this is about you. What do you think? Modern Americans have a feeling of alienation. Too much data and not enough to make any decisions. We're uncertain about the context, the networks, our own self-worth, and a sort of assimilation ideal of multiculturalism that keeps us separate from our community, the World Wide Web complex, a familiarity of strangeness. And talking about this advancement of technology, that we used to be a society that we knew our neighbor. Right? We lived on a farm. We needed the butcher. We needed the milkman. We needed the postman. We needed these people to make our daily living, our success, a success. We didn't have violence per se because our community was smaller. And if you took out the mailman, every one of your neighbors was going to be pissed. And we all bared arms at this point because we were all about protecting ourselves and our neighbors and our community. And you know one another. You know each other's names. When you're standing in line at the grocery store and someone acts out of line, it's not an alien concept to you to step in and say, "Hey, I know your mom, sweetheart. Do you want me to say something to her? Or here, let me help hold your child while you go and grab your wallet in the car." You know everybody in town, and there's a sense of community. But now with this technology that separates us, we can, with a click of a button, know everyone around the world, and suddenly we know no one. Technology allows us to do things in our own way. We can purchase stuff from Target, have it sent to our door. We can vote online. We can order our groceries. We don't really need anyone. In a sense that we're no longer connected because we're so connected. We don't know our neighbor's name because we don't need them. And if they get in our way of our fast-paced society and our instant gratification, and maybe now because we have low self-worth and no one knows us back, we don't have enough likes on Facebook, even though it means nothing, and our neighbor crosses our path, that we have no problem being violent to this individual. And this multiculturalism separating us from our community and giving this influx of strangeness, it perpetuates the alien concept. It perpetuates that we no longer talk to one another, that it's telepathic in a sense. Right now, you listening to me, you're not hearing me with your ears as you would in the room sitting next to me. You're not watching my mouth move, but we're talking. You're getting the message. But do you know me? I'm Sarah Soderlund, but who am I to you? Right? So I want to give you a great quote from a book from Jody Dean, political scientist, said, "The symbolism of alien abduction is very different than the old one of colonization dominating much of the 19th century. Unlike metaphors of a colonization that precipices borders to be penetrated, right? Immigrations, resources to be exploited." Dean notes that abduction operates with an understanding of the world, of reality, an amorphous and permeable state. That colonization, moreover, brings with it the possibility of struggle, emancipation, independence, abduction. However, we recognize the futility of resistance, even as it points to other possible freedoms. Colonization implies an ongoing process with systematic limitation. Abduction involves the sense that things are happening behind our back, out of our control. A great paradox, perhaps, at the end of the symbolism, as Dean concludes in her book. To fight colonization, we take control. We don't fight abduction. We simply try to recover the memories. All while we are aware they could be false, that in our very recovery, we participate in an alien plan. So, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about government conspiracy, because I'm hoping as you listen to that segment from Jody Dean that you're realizing the unconscious archetype, that at once sci-fi and horror played on how this might penetrate religion, that if there are aliens, where is God, that this early Christian society, sense of community, that there's something foreign. But now, the abduction scenario is more permeable to our soul because we feel untouchable, but at the same time, out of control. We are no longer a part of our community, and we're not sure what our government is hiding. We don't know all of what's going on because there's so much going on that we've alienated ourselves. So the concept of the alien is no longer fearful. Instead, it is this recovery of the abduction, that we are abducted by our government, that we have been abducted by ourselves, that we have been lazy, we've been removed. And through the recovery process, you unearth all of these issues. And it becomes very, very scary. It becomes very scary on an unconscious level, on a societal level, on a psychological, emotional level, but also because of the unique parallels that this plays with government conspiracy, paranormal phenomenon, the sense of self, self-worth, technology. I mean, you talk about Snowden, if anybody has seen the recent documentary Citizen 4, man, you should see it. It's fantastic. And suddenly you do realize that you are a little alien to everything going on around you. And what do? You try to recover. So I want to let that kind of marinate with you as we delve a little farther into the species. Now, these are alleged, okay? This is where we are down the rabbit hole and we look to the left, we look to the right, and we see that it's no longer a hole, it's just a void. And you can go down this direction, or you can go down that direction, or you can go back up, and you're still in the darkness. But some directions are far more out there than others, shall I say. We're talking really out there. So let's just throw our hands to the wind for a moment. Let's let go of our chair. Let's float a little bit above the real world. the empirical world, the sane world, and for this brief 5 minutes, discuss lightly what it would be like if we were engulfed into the world of alien abduction. If we go to a MUFON conference and we hear these lectures and we hear the narratives of people who feel they've been abducted, and you're listening, trying to be as objective and open-minded as possible, that you might hear some of the head honchos, as we call it, in ufology, the big names in alien species. Now, there are books, there are dictionaries, there are lists of hundreds of types of aliens. But because we're going to mix and mingle in a little government conspiracy, I want to just give you the top seven. And I want to see if you can identify, maybe in popular culture, movies, some of these alien species. Why some movies utilize these, why some movies chose to hone in on one particular species, and whether or not it's just this perpetuation of an original story somewhere, or whether it's because alien abduction stories with modern technology are vastly spreading like a virus online and we just hear more about them. I want to leave it up to you. But here we go. The first one. This may not be so popular, but is the Sirian. Have you ever heard of that? The Sirian. Human-like, taller, blue, aquatic-like beings. Think Avatar. A peaceful advancement of positive technology said to influence the Egyptians, the Mayans, the Crystal Skulls, the Dagon tribe of Africa, Atlantis. And that these tall, human-like, beautiful Sirians exist. When you think of alien abduction, when you think of alien in your mind, what's the image that you get? Where did you get that image? What's the source? And do you know? Was it a movie you saw when you were a child? Was it a book you read? Was it a visualization you came up with? Was it some archetype, some Terry Brooks novel that you read? The Sirian is illustrated through a lot of Renaissance paintings about Christianity. Next, we have the very common, very popular, short grays, the big head, the black eyes, no mouth. They're telepathic. And these are highly associated with the abduction narrative, these short gray ET, right? Close encounters of the third kind. These placid, emotionless creatures that abduct us, interested in a hybrid, usually associated with the sex operations, the narratives of someone being invaded. Next is the tall gray. The 8-foot-tall, slender, gray creature said to rule over short grays, genetic operations. I think of Paul, I think was the movie. It's a tall, friendly, more intelligent version of the short gray, said to be from the constellation Orion, think Men in Black. And the tall grays, they could really care less. They could care. It doesn't seem to matter much to them. The fourth, now with this I totally think of Jim Henson and like the Dark Crystal kind of things, but also the recent Jupiter ascending in Hollywood phenomenon. Alpha Draconian. Ooh, that sounds like a good word, doesn't it? The Alpha Draconian. The taller reptilian, the warriors, the interstellar, interplanetary leaders of the common reptilian. They're clever. They can be 14 to 20 feet tall, the T-Rex-like alien that we see in Hollywood, the Alpha Draconian. And what I love is that they are not here on Earth. Instead, they leave the more common native reptilian warrior, the Earthborn colonized draconian hybrid species. They're 5 to 8 feet tall. They're said to be chameleons. They're said to be a hybrid of royal blood, the RH negative conspiracy, the greed-driven Blackwater conspiracy associated alien, thick in financial politics. When you hear of the Illuminati reptilians, this is the common reptilian. Then you have the ever so popular Anunnaki, the Planet X, Nibiru, gold miners of the galaxy, and that they fight the draconians for Earth, that they want political control. They want to utilize the Earthborn species as a slave, and that the Anunnaki are all about mining gold. And they're greed-driven in a different sense, not so much financial control as the reptilians, but a control nonetheless. And then you have the Nordics, the Pleiadians, the Venusians, the tall, white, beautiful humanoid Scandinavian, blonde hair, blue-eyed, associated with enlightenment and peace. Some say they are inspired by the 1951 film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And the Nordics are also common with DMT, acid trips, interdimensional guidance. And lastly, the Anakim. And I wish Scotty Roberts was here in the chat room today. The Anakim, the Hebrew elder race, the giants, the Nephilim, the Gregori-inspired hybrid. So those are just eight of hundreds, hundreds of species. And these eight are typically ones that we see throughout Hollywood. Maybe when you think alien, it's what comes to mind. It's likely that one of those eight popped in your mind before I even described them. So now that you have that name, you can Google it and say, where did I get this? Or take a moment and explore it right now in your mind. Where did that come from? A lot of the times with alien abduction narratives, the first thing that you want to do is talk about intention. Without any suggestion from me, and hopefully you can do your best to remove suggestion from popular culture, Hollywood stories, and movies you may have read, but what is the intention? What is the emotional response you get when you think of alien right now in your head? What comes to mind? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? And what's the intention? If you're not a visual person, if you're a kinesthetic person or you're an auditory person, perhaps you get a message. For those Whitley Strieber fans, Communion, The Key fans, he doesn't ever really see an image at first, but instead is this warning, this warm, welcoming enlightenment. We're not here to hurt you, we're here to warn you. And you've been chosen. And now you have a purpose. Some of those popular symptoms that we talked about last week. So I want to touch on the themes and the intentions. Because when we look at these alien races, there seems to be common patterns in the intentions and the themes. Sexual. Is it sexual? Because if it is, that's going to be more associated with the grays, right? If it is sterilization or eugenics, it might be more about reptilian Anunnaki. If it's about world domination, it might be more about the draconians, the reptilians. If it is more about destruction, but the warning of the apocalyptic, the feeling that you've been chosen, the knowing, if you will, Nicolas Cage fans, they're going to select you. Maybe it's Nordic, maybe it's Syrian. What is the theme? You tell me. What is the intention? And then think about the mental health. Of course, last week we talked about mental health and how you absolutely have to be as objective as possible when you're thinking about your own alien experience. Do you have one? Okay, if you do, or if you're dealing with someone who believes that they do, what is the mental health here? Is there lost time, minutes, days, unaccounted presence that you think, and I hope you're listening, you know who you are, that you went outside to smoke, you looked at the time, it was 3:37, sat on the back porch, took a few drags, heard the baby cry, you come back in. It's 6:37. What? 6:37? 3 hours just passed? That's not right. I must not be seeing the clock correctly. And 2 days later, you find yourself sitting, not really doing much. You walk to the kitchen and you strangely look at the clock for no reason at all. It's 3:37. And the next day, you take a nap. You wake up, no alarm clock. You look over. It's 3:37. How interesting. Lost time and synchronicity of numbers in your life is a very common theme in abduction scenarios. And usually, with an abduction, it's associated with the grays, right? That we're being taken, that we're being abducted. Accidental awareness, like you see in the fourth kind, this thing staring at me. I keep seeing something outside my window. You keep looking at a hole in the wall that didn't always used to be there, and it makes you nervous. Or you no longer go into your closet. You seem fearful of that space. Irrational fears, anxieties, paranoia, ominous, omnipotent paranoia. Or maybe it's a sleep disorder. Maybe you never, ever, ever in your life have been one to sleepwalk, sleep talk, or do anything other than snore. And now you're suddenly waking up on the couch every night. You're sleepwalking somehow down the stairs, through the kitchen, past everyone without waking them, and you're waking up somewhere else. And you're not quite sure how you got there. It's not like you. And you analyze the stress in your life. And yeah, work's a little stressful, but nothing real, nothing big, nothing all that different. But suddenly now I'm experiencing this. Last week we talked about the common themes of the age, the sex, the gender, the characteristics of those who are taken. So I encourage you to check that out. But some other unusual things that are common. And those with alien abduction narratives, unusual marks, hearing a humming noise, seeing a UFO, an ominous presence, the obsession to suddenly need to travel. I need to be on the move. I need to travel. An unexplained medical problem, implants, lost pregnancies, psychic abilities suddenly coming into your life. Visual anomalies, ball lighting, orbs, strange things in your photos. A prophetic feeling that suddenly you are special, that you are chosen, that you need to do something, you need to talk about this. Or a vivid abnormal memory of things you can't explain. Eye dreams, the symbolism of the eyes, seeing eyes staring at you, seeing eyes watching you, seeing people with just eyes or large eyes, eye dreams, the aversion to aliens. You used to be able to watch mysteries, unsolved mysteries, you used to be able to watch Nat Geo specials, and now suddenly you have an aversion, a new phobia you never had before, and you can't really rationalize, or a belief in a spiritual special place that doesn't make a lot of sense, bleeding or blood found on your pillow, yet you weren't cut. Maybe you're having crazy nosebleeds for no reason and the doctor can't tell you why, but this is new. Electronic malfunctions. Radio shows always clicking, tapping, going bad. Radio's turning off and on, microwave not working, buttons going out, lights flickering. The street lights always flicker off when you drive under. A ringing in the ears. Suddenly, in your adult life, with no reason at all, you're compulsive and you have addictive behaviors to the point that you're self-destructive. A fear of tight spaces, sexual and intimacy problems, apocalyptic dreams, no recall of certain stages of childhood. Gosh, don't you remember that one time we went and stayed there that summer and it was great cabin experience and we went fishing every day and you think, man, I don't actually. I come to think of it, I don't really remember anything from being 8 years old to like 11. I guess I just have a bad memory. Flashbacks. Synchronicity in numbers. All of these things, and it could be some of these things, or it could be none of these things, perhaps. But just that you might have some strange occurrences that lead you to wander more down the rabbit hole into alien abduction. Now, of course, last week we talked about treatment, group therapy, catharsis, and regression. But for those of you still listening, that means that this last 10 minutes, I'm going to throw at you some government conspiracies. Now, why in the heck would I mention government conspiracies? What does that have to do with aliens? Does it have anything to do with aliens? Well, I want you to be the judge. A lot of people, they think the government, of course, this group of elected officials, intelligent, special, educated, maybe they were part of the Skull and Crossbones, special fraternities of elite networking, rich people with access to such X-files we just don't know about. But that our government is there to protect us. Our government is a group of elected officials there to spend our tax money to explore things for the betterment of our society, to advance our society, to be a part of government defense, to keep us safe. If you trust your government, if you vote on an individual and trust they're going to do the best job for you, and whether or not you have a blind eye or not, if you believe in the authority and the judgment of a government, you believe that it's solid, smart, and objective, and rational, and logical, and all of those things that are the antithesis of an alien abduction, an alien species, UFOs. Come on. Let's get serious. Okay. Let's get serious. Many of you have heard of Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. Lieutenant Walter Hotz, press release. Thank you for the crash of the flying disc being taken, found on a ranch, and taken into possession by the 509th Bomb Group, the American Air Force, and military intelligence at Roswell Army Airfield. This Roswell crash of an alien spacecraft, it went on the air. People turned the dial and listened to lieutenants in the Air Force talk about this, which of course quickly was covered up and later explained as weather balloons, or that was just for entertainment. You know, it's kind of, let's just consider this an Orson Welles type thing, right? However, there's this time in 1947 that we quickly have the advancements in technology, these leaps, night vision, lasers, aligned fibers, chips, optics, reverse engineered crafts for travel. Think about 1940s and think about now. Why did someone at Roswell go on the air and say one thing and then the government came back and said, no. Well, a few years later, Area 51, also, that's a big tourist attraction, right? Area 51, 1955 government testing area in Groom Lake, Nevada. People know that it exists. We can see it on Google Maps. We can watch the National Geographic interviews of the people who worked there in and out of the complex and told you about their top secret classified projects. And presidents have commented on Area 51. And I think what is special about Area 51 is that you have this duality, this no, that doesn't even exist. To, well, of course it exists. We know it exists, but we can't talk about what goes on there. Oh, well, we were doing working on, you know, aircrafts for the war. We can't talk about that because at this point, you know, secrecy is a big part of defense, and so we can't talk about that. Okay, we can get on board with that. But then you have a plethora, however many you want to say for that, of people saying that, no. There's more there than that. Project Blue Book, 1949, right around the same time, Air Force. This is a government project through the Air Force to take action studying data around UFO phenomenon associated with projects such as Sign and Grudge, said to have closed in the 1970s with the Condon Report. But Project Blue Book is never released to the public. Project Paperclip, 1949 to 1990. A large thing, of course, in popular culture, we hear about it as being inspiration for S.H.I.E.L.D., the Avengers, but also the X-Files mentions it for human experiments and alien autopsies. But it was a German-American intelligence project by the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, to advance our technologies, advance our interrogations, advance the understanding of warfare by whatever means necessary. Utilized post-Nazi information. And if that interests you, beyond the Nuremberg trials of what happened, Project Paperclip is quite fascinating. Project Saucer. This is one that you can Google that you're going to see a lot of stuff come up about Ohio, about the Ohio River Valley, but I'm talking about the 1947 through 49 Air Force operations of America to go into the UFO phenomenon in South America, Colares, Brazil. If you can find it, there was actually a documentary on this, and it's associated with Men in Black government cover-ups because the men of the Air Force that came out and said, listen, I was there. These were the documents that I provided for the Air Force. These are the things that we saw. These are the things that we experienced. Later died mysteriously. It was said to be a suicide, but the family never agreed to such a thing. They thought it was something else. And the UFO phenomenon in Project Saucer was quite fantabulous. Project Pegasus. 1968 government, DARPA related operations associated with visits to Mars, aliens, time travel, teleportation. Project Pegasus, I had heard about, but actually recently on social network sites this week, this was one that people brought up because they said, had you heard recently, just this September, just this month, 2015, that people are talking about Obama having been to Mars through Project Pegasus. Now, of course, here we are reaching out into the void of the rabbit hole, but have you ever heard of Project Pegasus? Did it exist? It absolutely did. But what was it? What did it do? Project Bluebeam, 1994, NASA, Canada, conspiracy. This went really down the conspiracy wormhole as well because it starts talking about HARP, HARP, HAARP, New Age religions, holograms of religions, the Antichrist, missing children's. Air Force hubs in mountain ranges where we have conjured with reptilian aliens and have given them a certain amount of missing children so that they can give us technology to protect ourselves. The reason that we don't drill in Alaska and that we have so much HARP-related stuff there is because it's not just protected, it's not just National Reservation for Oil and other resources, but that's alien land. Project Bluebeam can get a little crazy as well. Project MK Ultra. Obviously, this is another very, very popular one. It's one of my favorites, being someone who's a forensic psychologist, understanding that Project MK Ultra absolutely existed, 1953 CIA project that was said to have ended, but some say is still alive and strong in today's world, associated with reptilian biowarfare, mind control, LSD, vaccinations, drugging society. Seeing how far we can go. Does remote viewing exist? Does espionage through poltergeists exist? What all can we do with the human mind and where does it end? And what have alien technologies told us, given us? What advancements have we made at that expense? What have we traded the aliens for this knowledge. How far do you want to dip your toes into the water of alien abduction? How far do you want to go? For some in the chat room, we have the amazing author Paul Browning of Think Outside the Box. Well, for those of you in the paranormal realm, supernatural, cryptozoology, some believe Bigfoot is an interdimensional species. We're not just talking a Mitch Hedberg, the reason that he's so hard to find is he's just fuzzy, but that he's actually a time traveler. Or that the Mothman, the omen of death, the fact that the Mothman seen in cultures all around the world, we know it best as the Richard Gere Mothman, Ohio River Valley collapse, but that people see it. And it's also seen with Men in Black. It's also seen with UFO sightings. Could it be that Carl Jung unconscious archetype symbolism? Could it be our worst fears? Could it be alien intervention? What does cryptozoology, paranormal phenomenon, government conspiracy, and alien abductions have in common? Could they be the same thing? Is it really about our perceptions, about our interests, our hobbies? Why have so many other first world countries and governments released their X-Files and the United States has not? When you Google things on the internet and you listen to this radio broadcast right now, is it censored? Do you believe it is or believe it isn't? What do you think? What can our society in today's Kardashian world handle? What's too much? What's in the void? And are aliens walking among us? Next week, we're going to have one of my favorite people, and he's a little out there. Hope he's not offended by that if he's listening. He's a little out there, but he's a man who is a veteran of our government. He has served our country. He has fought overseas. He has been in some pretty amazing government projects. And he's one of those people who's got big enough balls to talk about it. And he's a fiery man of his word. And he is known to cuss. So we're going to throw that out there next week as we hopefully welcome Mr. Jody Cook. Right now, he's at the, ironically, the Mothman Festival. And next week, he'll be here to talk about aliens and government. So if any of those government conspiracies, any of those projects, Project Bluebeam, Project Saucer, Project Paperclip, Project Moondust, the Montauk Project, ooh, I like that one. If any of those pique your interest or tickle your fancy, I encourage you to tune in next week here on Intrepid Radio for Mysteries of the Mind as we talk more about aliens.